When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
I found the ad on a Facebook group at midnight.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Small room, private bathroom, full access to the kitchen, utilities included. $300 flat. No background checks, no deposit. The kind of offer that screams temporary fix. And that's all I needed. I was broke, tired, and too desperate to care. The house was in a quiet suburb. Looked fine from the outside. Clean lawn, white fence, two floors. Karen greeted me at the door wearing a floral dress and rubber gloves. Her smile was wide and fixed in place like she rehearsed it in the mirror. She didn't waste time with small talk. She asked for cash, handed me a short list of rules typed in size 14 font and laminated, and told me I had the yellow room. It was small, smelt of bleach, and had no window. She said she liked to keep outdoor energy away from the indoors. I didn't unpack, just dropped my bag and tried to sleep. I was too tired to think about how weird the place felt. I told myself I'd only stay one night, maybe two. I woke up to the sound of the vacuum. Not the normal hum, but the kind that runs over the same patch of floor again and again. I checked the time, 6:13 a.m. When I opened the door, she was right there, vacuuming the hallway in slippers and a blank face. She turned off the machine when she saw me. Didn't say good morning, just stared for a few seconds, then said, "Shoes stay on the tray. One pair at a time, no exceptions." I nodded. She waited like she expected a full sentence. I said, "Okay," and went back into the room. Later, I noticed a camera tucked into the corner of the hallway ceiling. Small, old, but working. A little red light blinked constantly. I leaned forward to see if it was just for show. It moved slightly when I did. I pretended not to notice and walked past it. That night, I went to the kitchen to make a sandwich. As I opened the fridge, she stepped in from the laundry room, holding a bottle of cleaner and a rag. She watched me open the fridge. "That's your milk now. That one, bottom left. Do not touch mine. It's marked." I looked and saw a gallon of milk with masking tape around it. My name was written in marker on a different one. I didn't say anything, but I was really uncomfortable. This couldn't be normal. She kept cleaning even after I left. I could still hear her wiping the counter over and over for another 30 minutes. The third day, I came home from work to find my door wide open. Not just unlocked, open. The light was on. My bag had been moved. All my clothes were neatly folded in a pile, and on top of them was a note written in red pen. Unsanitary. Do not mix worn and clean clothes. That night, I pushed the chair under the doorknob before sleeping. At around 2 a.m., I woke up to the soft screech of something being dragged across the floor outside my door. I didn't move. I just listened. Then I heard a soft whisper. Not words, just noise. Hushed repetition of the same sound over and over, like humming without a tune. I stayed still for over an hour. When it finally stopped, I got up and looked through the crack under the door. There was nothing there. But when I stepped out in the morning, there was a plate of food on the floor. Two boiled eggs, a slice of dry toast, and a sticky note that said, "Breakfast. Healthy choices keep the mind clean." I didn't touch it. I left it on the ground and went straight for the door. Locked. Not just the knob, deadbolt, and a sliding bar. She had added them sometime after I went to bed. I checked the windows. Nailed shut. When I turned around, she was standing at the end of the hall. Just standing. Her dress was the same from yesterday. Her hands behind her back. The same smile on her face. I said I needed to leave.
"You agreed to stay until the end of the week. I adjusted the lock for your safety."
I told her I'd call the police. She laughed. Not loudly, just a quiet, breathy laugh. Like she was tired of hearing the same joke. I walked back to my room slowly. She watched every step. The next day was worse. My phone charger was missing. My clothes were gone again, replaced with identical white t-shirts and gray sweatpants, all labeled with my initials. She brought me a folder with a printed schedule for efficiency and health. It had blocked times for sleeping, eating, cleaning, and reflection time, whatever that meant. She knocked three times before entering. Didn't wait for an answer. She walked in holding a clipboard and started asking questions in a flat voice. What time did I go to bed? Did I brush my teeth? Did I use the bathroom more than twice yesterday? I said I didn't know. She circled something on her paper and left. I tried to force the front door open with a chair leg I found in the closet. No use. Reinforced with extra bolts. I even tried yelling through the mail slot, but the street was too quiet. Nobody walked by. Nobody looked in. When I tried to call 911, my phone turned off. I checked the settings. The battery was fine, but the SIM card had been removed. It was taped to my bedroom mirror with a note, "Distractions prevent growth." That night, I didn't sleep. I sat in the corner holding a lamp base like a weapon. At around 3 a.m., I heard her walking down the hallway. Slow, heavy. She stopped in front of my door. Didn't knock, just stood there for almost 10 minutes, then walked away. The next morning, I found my toothbrush replaced again. Same brand, new packaging, same label. Approved. She'd been in the room. Again. I snapped. I went to the kitchen when she wasn't around and grabbed the biggest knife. I didn't want to use it. I just needed something in my hand. I shoved it into the back of my waistband and started looking for a way out. That's when I saw the basement door open. The smell hit first. Not rot, not mold, bleach. So strong it burnt my nose. I heard something down there. A whirring sound, like a fan or a saw. I didn't go down. I just backed away. She caught me in the hallway.
You've been uncooperative. She didn't yell. Her voice was calm but flat, like she wasn't talking to me but repeating something from memory. I tried to step past her. She blocked me. You can't leave. This wasn't a part of the deal. You think you can just come to my house, do whatever you want, and then just leave? She lunged. I pulled the knife, but she grabbed my wrist fast. I didn't expect her to be that strong. Her fingers dug into my skin. I swung the knife, missed, hit the wall. She slammed my head against the door frame. I dropped the knife. She dragged me toward the basement door. I fought, kicked her shin, elbowed her face. She screamed, but didn't let go. She pulled me down two steps. My shoulder hit the wall. I reached behind me, grabbed the metal handrail, and slammed it against her face. She dropped. I scrambled up the stairs and slammed the door. Locked it, shoved a chair under the handle. She banged on it twice. Then silence. I found the spare key in the cabinet by the stove. It was taped under a Tupperware lid. I ran to the front door, unlocked everything, and ran barefoot into the street. I ran until I reached a gas station. Called the cops from a landline. When they got there, I told them everything. They didn't seem surprised. One of them said, "We've had noise complaints, but nothing stuck." I told them to check the basement. They did. They found metal restraints, medical supplies, files with people's names, and audio recordings labeled by day. There were women's clothes in a sealed box, IDs, hairbrushes, even a lock of hair pinned to the wall. She was arrested. No resistance, just smiled ironically. "Of course this was going to happen. You are a bad, bad seed." She was declared unstable, but they found evidence that went back years. Photos of other tenants, some still missing, some never reported. She had a system. She didn't act like a lunatic. She acted like a nurse in an abandoned asylum who never got the memo to stop. I don't use shared housing anymore. I don't trust smiles from strangers. I don't enter houses where the hallway is too quiet or the floors too clean. Karen's trial never happened. She was deemed unfit. Sent to a facility. No visitors allowed. Sometimes I wonder how many of us lived with someone like her and just walked out before things got bad. I wasn't lucky. I just fought harder than the others. That's the only reason I'm not a photo in her collection.
The whole thing started because of a fence. We'd been living in the house barely 2 months. Small town, middle of nowhere, place looked peaceful. Lena and I were fixing the backyard that Sunday. The wood from the old fence was falling apart, so we bought new planks and a few bags of concrete. Nothing out of the ordinary. We were just building a line between us and the house next door. We weren't looking to meet the neighbors. We're not the bake cookies and ring the bell type. But until that afternoon, we hadn't seen a soul in the house next to ours. Curtains always drawn, front yard a mess, no car, no lights at night. We figured it was empty. Or maybe a shut-in lived there. We didn't care. I was lining up one of the middle panels when I felt Lena stop behind me. She wasn't moving, just holding a board and staring past me. I turned to ask what was wrong and followed her eyes to the second floor window of the neighbor's house. The curtain was barely open. Someone was watching us. Eyes, just eyes, locked on us. Still as hell, not blinking. I waved awkwardly, trying not to be rude. No reaction. After a few seconds, the curtain closed. No movement. Lena said nothing and kept working. I laughed it off and got back to nailing boards, but that feeling stuck, like we'd done something wrong just by being there. We finished half the fence by evening. It looked good, nothing fancy, solid enough to stand a storm. I cracked a beer and sat in the backyard while Lena went to take a shower. The sun was almost gone, and everything had that quiet buzz before night hits. Then I heard a thud. It came from the other side of the fence. Another thud, heavier this time. I stood up and walked over, thinking maybe something fell or an animal knocked something over. But when I peeked through a gap, I froze. The woman from next door was in her backyard holding a massive sledgehammer. Her hair was all over her face, her shirt soaked in sweat, and she was swinging hard right at our new fence. The first hit had already broken a panel. She didn't stop. She kept smashing it, one swing after another. No yelling, no warning, just raw, mindless force. I shouted to her, "Hey, stop! What the hell are you doing?" She didn't look up. She just kept going like she didn't hear me. I took out my phone and started recording. I kept calling out louder every time. She finally paused, breathing hard, eyes wide. She stared at the broken wood like it had insulted her. Then, without saying a word, she turned around and walked back into her house, slamming the door behind her. We called the police right after. They showed up 20 minutes later. When they knocked, no one answered. They tried the door, walked around, nothing. The place looked empty. The cops said they'd write a report and come back later. That didn't help. I posted the video online that night, just for backup. Just in case. I couldn't sleep. I kept thinking about her face, the way she hit that fence like it had ruined her life. Around 2 a.m., I finally dozed off. Next thing I knew, I woke up screaming. The pain was like fire. My right leg was shattered, bone exposed, blood everywhere. I couldn't even understand what had happened at first. Then I saw her at the foot of our bed. The woman. She was holding the sledgehammer, her knuckles white around the grip, breathing like a beast. Her eyes locked on me, but her face was smiling. A crooked, furious smile. Lena sat up and gasped so hard I thought she'd choke. The woman raised the hammer like it was nothing. "Shut up. Don't move. If you scream again, I'll break the other leg." We didn't move. She came closer, the hammer still in her hand. Blood from my leg was already soaking the sheets. She leaned over me, inches from my face. "Delete the video, now, or I'll kill both of you right here." I reached for my phone, fingers shaking. Gave it to her. She snatched it and opened the screen. Her hands were slick with sweat, but she didn't care. She scrolled, found TikTok. Her face changed. She saw the views. Thousands of them. Comments, shares. Her breathing got louder. Her hands started shaking. Then she screamed, loud, raw. She threw the phone at the wall and raised the hammer over her head. She was going to bring it down on me, no hesitation. But Lena jumped out of bed and tackled her from behind. They hit the dresser with a loud crash. The hammer flew out of her hands and slid across the floor. Both of them struggled. The woman grabbed Lena by the throat and tried to slam her against the wall, but Lena kicked her in the stomach and broke free. I tried to get out of bed, but my leg screamed. I collapsed halfway off the mattress. The woman spun around and ran for the hammer. Lena grabbed her ankle, made her fall. They both hit the floor hard. She reached for the hammer and swung it blindly. The back end slammed into Lena's ribs. Lena let out a sharp gasp and dropped. The woman stood up red-faced and panting. She grabbed the hammer again and walked toward me. Her eyes were locked on my face. She was going to do it. Kill me right there. I was half off the bed, barely conscious, choking on pain. She lifted the sledgehammer. But I grabbed the lamp from the nightstand and threw it as hard as I could. I hit her square in the face. She stumbled back, holding her nose, blood pouring between her fingers. Lena pulled herself across the floor and grabbed the woman by the hair, slamming her head against the bed frame. The woman screamed and lashed out, hitting Lena across the head with the wooden handle. Lena collapsed. Her eyes rolled back. I thought she was dead. The woman stood again, dizzy, but furious. She looked at me and smiled. She walked over slowly, dragging the hammer behind her like it weighed nothing. I was barely breathing. My hands were slick with blood. I reached for anything, anything I could throw, anything I could use. There was nothing. Just clothes, wires, useless crap. She raised the hammer one last time. And I snapped. I stood on one foot. My legs screamed, but I didn't stop. I screamed too, louder than I ever had, and ran at her. She didn't expect it. I hit her with everything I had left. We both crashed into the window. The glass shattered. We fell. We landed hard. The sound was disgusting. My back exploded in pain and I couldn't move. She was next to me, wheezing, one arm bent the wrong way. Her hair covered her face. She tried to sit up, but couldn't. I heard a door slam. A man yelling. Her husband. He ran out into the yard in boxers, barefoot. He dropped next to her and tried to pull her up. Then he looked at me. He froze. His face turned white. More lights came on. Neighbors stepped out of their houses, phones in hand. Someone screamed. Someone else called the police. Everything blurred. Police cars filled the street within minutes. I saw red and blue lights bouncing off the houses. Lena crawled out the front door, holding her side, shaking. She pointed at the woman. Cops ran to us. Medics followed. People surrounded the yard, recording everything. Her husband kept shouting that she'd been acting strange for weeks, that she stopped eating, that she wouldn't let him in her room. He said he thought she was asleep, that he had no idea she'd left the house. No one listened to him. The woman didn't fight back. She just kept laughing. Even as they cuffed her, even as they dragged her off the ground, blood dripping from her face, clothes torn, she kept laughing. Eyes wide, smile twisted, like she'd won something we didn't understand. They put her in the back of the car, still laughing. I couldn't move. My vision was going dark. I saw Lena next to me, barely awake. I grabbed her hand and passed out. 3 surgeries. Steel rods in my leg. Lena had 2 fractured ribs and a concussion. We both lived. That's about all I can say. The house is up for sale now. We're staying in a motel waiting to move far away. Somewhere quiet, where people don't smash your door down with a hammer in the middle of the night. The video hit 10 million views. People think it's fake, that it was staged, that we're actors, that no one would really do something like that over a fence. They don't get it. They weren't there. She's in a psychiatric facility now, locked up, medicated. Her husband moved out. The house next door is empty again. Curtains drawn, lights off. But I still wake up every night thinking I hear the hammer.
We weren't influencers or anything like that. We weren't thrill seekers trying to get famous. We were just 4 friends looking for something to break the routine. I'm Levi. The others were Dorian, Miles, and Zane. We didn't think about what we were doing. We just saw the warning signs, the rusted fences, and that tiny thrill in our chests pushed us past all the red flags. The building was an old medical facility, supposedly shut down years ago. Not condemned, not torn down, just left there. We read stories online. People claimed there were still lights on at night, that a figure patrolled the halls, and that anyone who stayed for too long would vanish. Bullshit, we thought. All part of the game. A place with a reputation like that. We had to check it out. We waited until 1:30 a.m. and parked on the dirt road behind the facility. The sky was cloudless, the wind dead. There were cameras near the front gate and a booth with a bored-looking guard playing with his phone. We looped around back, found a break in the fence, and slipped inside. It wasn't hard. No dogs, no alarms. Just that quiet that doesn't quite feel right when you're deep in it. We didn't talk much once we got in. Everyone was just focused on getting the shot, recording every step, whispering into our mics like we were narrating a crime scene. Inside, the place smelled like chemicals and old metal. You could taste the dust. But we were too hyped to care. That changed real fast. The place was falling apart. Every hallway looked like it hadn't seen sunlight in decades. Wires dangled from the ceiling like vines. Water dripped from the pipes. At first, everything felt like the usual abandoned building crap. Broken beds, smashed lights, graffiti. We laughed at it. Dorian even made a joke about zombies. But then, we found the basement door. It was different. Steel. No rust. The walls around it were clean. Too clean, like someone had wiped them down. There were bolts locking it from the outside, but one of them hung loose, like someone had left in a hurry. Zane went first, always the fearless one. He pulled the bolt and swung the door open. The stairs creaked as we went down, and once we were at the bottom, we found that hallway. Red, painted walls, narrow, barely lit by our flashlights. No graffiti, no debris, just smooth floor and that one door at the end. Solid metal, black stains running down the frame. We were about to turn back when we heard it. It came slow, ragged breathing, like someone trying to hold it in but failing. Not just tired breathing, but desperate, fast, shaky. Someone was behind that door, and they were close. You could hear them breathing right up against the other side. No begging, no words, just that heavy, strained inhale and exhale over and over. We stood still, not moving, not even whispering. Zane raised his hand, signaling silence. Then he reached for the handle. Before he could even touch it, the door exploded outward with a bang that shook the floor. Zane flew back like a rag doll, crashing into the wall with a sound that made my stomach turn. I saw his head snap sideways when he landed, blood already pooling under him. Then it stepped out of the room. I can't call it a man. It was something worse, taller than any human should be, maybe 7.5 feet. Every inch of it was covered in a tight, black, latex-like material that reflected our flashlight beams in long streaks. No zippers, no seams. It looked like someone had vacuum-sealed flesh inside plastic. Its head was smooth, faceless, except for one long slit where its mouth opened. And it did open, just enough to hear wet, rapid breathing spill out echoing in that hall. It held something in its hand. A sledgehammer. Not a regular one. Custom made. Thick metal with hooked ends on the sides. I wanted to run. I knew I should have. But I just stared. Frozen. Dorian tried to pull Zane back. He got one arm under him before the thing moved. It didn't run. It just stepped forward. Fast. Too fast. It grabbed Dorian by the arm and swung the hammer directly into his side. The sound was horrible. I heard ribs snap. Dorian dropped, wheezing and twitching, mouth open like he was trying to scream but couldn't get air. The thing didn't stop. It stepped over him and came toward us. Miles pulled me by the shirt and yelled something I couldn't process. We ran, finally. Our flashlights bouncing, footsteps slamming against tile. I looked back once. It was still walking, not running, but it was gaining. Every step was perfect, clean, mechanical, like it knew exactly where we'd go. We reached the stairwell and stopped, panting. I could barely breathe. Miles was already heading up, but I grabbed his arm. We can't leave them. Zane! Dorian! They're not dead! He hesitated, then nodded. We turned back, stupid, adrenaline blind. We made it halfway down the hallway before we saw it again. It stood over Dorian, hammer raised. Dorian twitched once. Then the hammer came down, flat on his head. The crack was sharp, short, final. We froze. It turned its head toward us. Then it dropped the hammer. Not out of weakness. Out of confidence. Like it didn't need it anymore. Miles picked up a steel pipe from the floor and charged. The thing didn't flinch. He swung hard at its shoulder. The metal bounced off like he hit a wall. Then the thing grabbed him by the throat and pinned him against the wall. I heard his boots scrape uselessly. His hands clawed at the thing's smooth arm, but it didn't budge. I ran again. No plan, no thought, just instinct. I could still hear Miles choking behind me, gagging as the grip tightened. I didn't want to leave him, but I couldn't stop my legs. I turned a corner and found a storage room. I slammed the door shut and pushed a cabinet in front of it. I backed up and tripped over a pile of rusted tools. Then everything went quiet. No footsteps. No breathing. Just silence. Until the door shook. Once. Twice. A long groan of metal, slow and steady. Not frantic, just deliberate. And then it stopped. I waited a minute, then two. Then I moved the cabinet and slipped out. I crept down the hall, every corner a trap. I didn't hear anything, didn't see anything, until I stepped into the main corridor and heard footsteps behind me. Not many, just two. Long strides. Precise. Fast. I ran. Not smart, not quiet. I just ran. I knocked over chairs, broke open a cart of surgical tools, and flung them behind me. I didn't look back, but I could hear them getting closer. No sprinting, just walking, but never slowing down. It was like the building was helping him. I reached a hallway that led to a sealed window. Dead end. I turned around and there he was. Close. Too close. I backed up against the wall, no air in my lungs. He stepped forward, lifted one arm and grabbed me by the throat. My feet left the ground. I kicked, punched, scratched. Useless. His grip tightened. I felt my vision dimming. I reached up, found the GoPro still strapped to my head, yanked it off, and smashed it into that blank face. The plastic cracked. He didn't move. Didn't flinch. But he let go, just long enough for me to fall and scramble away. I stumbled down the hallway, turned a corner, and ran straight into a flashlight beam. A man yelled, "Down! Now!" I hit the ground. Face first, hands up. The security guard stood over me, gun drawn. His hands were shaking. I screamed at him. "They're inside! My friends! He's killing them!" He looked at the hallway, then back at me. His finger hovered over the trigger. Then he pulled out his radio and called for backup. I begged him to come with me, to help. He refused. Said it was too dangerous. Said they had to follow protocol. I yelled until my throat hurt. 10 minutes later, flashing lights filled the building entrance. Cops poured in. They had rifles, shields, body cams. I sat on the ground, back against the wall, praying they weren't too late. When they came out, they had Miles and Zane, barely conscious, beaten, bruised, but alive.
No one else in there. Building's clear.
They were wrong. He was there. I knew it. They checked the footage later for my GoPro. One frame, just one, caught his face. That mouth, wide open, breathing, waiting. They sealed the place, not just boarded it up, sealed it, welded steel over the doors, cameras, patrols. They said it was because of safety violations, structural collapse. No mention of what really happened. Zane doesn't talk anymore. Miles walks with a limp. Dorian's funeral was closed casket. No one mentions the black-suited man. No one wants to. The footage was taken down from every site within hours. Not flagged, erased. I moved away, changed my number, got rid of all the equipment. But some nights, I hear it.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
That breathing. Slow. Heavy. Coming from somewhere I can't find. He didn't chase us out because we were lucky. He let us go. He could have easily killed us all. Maybe he saw the cameras and he wanted us to tell it, so someone else would come next.